So I'm going to begin today with a little game I call Tossing of the Books. So I am going to, one by one, take a book, and I'm going to give you a chance to see if you're okay with me throwing this book onto the floor. Okay? Very simple game. So the first game, I want you to know, first of all, if just one of you raises your hand, I will not throw the book. So it just takes one, but I want you to have a good reason. I want you to have, you know, logical, moral reason for me not to throw the book. I want you to know none of these books have any great monetary value. I mean, they're not a first edition of the Velveteen Rabbit. I mean, they're all just normal books. Okay. So, first book I have is called Fast Food Nation, The Dark Side of the All-American Meal. Yes, I read this a few years ago and stopped eating fast food for about 3 days, and then today I'm back eating it like crazy. So, anybody have a problem with me throwing this book? All right. Book number one. Book number two, Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis, a very popular Christian writer, very respected author of our time. Anybody have a problem if I toss this book to the floor? Oh, four, five, or six. Oh, good job, C.S. Lewis. All right. Wesleyan Church Discipline. Full of all the rules and regulations of our denomination. All right. And it's got all the what we believe. You know, there's a few of you saying, please toss the book. Please toss the book. We have one vote against it. So, you know, it just takes one. Sorry, we will not toss this book. But that was just one vote. So keep in mind that the C.S. Lewis got more votes against it than the Wesleyan Discipline. Okay, this is what a paraphrase of the New Testament called The Message. It's not an actual translation. It is a contemporary language thing, not supposed to be a literal translation, but it's supposed to be just a common paraphrase of the New Testament. You have a problem with me throwing this book on the ground? One, two, three, four, five. That's about the same as C.S. Lewis. No book for that. Okay. The Bible. NIV version. This one's called titled The Believe, but it is an actual translation of the Bible. Who has a problem with me throwing this on the floor? Okay, we're getting a lot more hands up. So this is by far the one that you are most uncomfortable with me throwing. Note that I did not throw any book that anybody had a problem with. However, when I was younger and either more foolish or more brave, when I was a youth pastor, I threw the Bible in a youth room once to talk to the kids about something. I don't know if that was smart or foolish, but I'm going to tell you the reason why I did that a little bit later in the sermon. So, welcome to our new series. Now, this is the second week of our series called The Bible Inspired or Expired. Now, if we're going to believe it, going to be a believers of, and we are broken people, we need to figure out our belief system. And we discovered last week that to inhale, or what the Bible says, what the wording is, I'm sorry, I'm struggling with my words this morning. I'm really excited about the sermon. to be inspired is to breathe in, which is what I need to do right now. Breathe in. And to expire is to breathe out from your lungs. And so we have to discover what it is about the Bible that we need to breathe in. Do we really like to breathe it in? Or to be honest, do we like to exhale it because it confuses us and it bores us and it confuses us? And yeah, which is it? We have to decide. Are we going to breathe it in like oxygen, or are we going to just kind of expel it like carbon dioxide? So moving on. If you are a superhero fan like myself, you know that Batman has a famous sidekick named Robin. Now, if you grew up reading his comic books, or even more so, if you watched the 70s show, TV show about Batman, you know that Robin had a favorite word to describe things. Do anybody think they know what that word is? Holy. Yeah, he would always come up with these weird expressions like, "Holy homicide, Batman!" You know, and then he would be alarmed, and they would go into action. But the word holy is not common in today's language. is it? We don't use the word holy that much. Though I would say the Wesley denomination is doing their part to try to keep that word alive. But over the years, our society has gotten away from seeing things as holy. There might be some good reasons for that. There might be some bad reasons for that. Now, if we go through the Bible, you will notice that there are many holy things. In the Old Testament, if you remember, Moses was on holy ground when God appeared to him in the burning bush. He had called, saying, Moses, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. When the nation of Israel traveled through the desert and they set up tents and they would camp along the way, they had a special part of the tent called the inner sanctuary, which was called the Holy of Holies, where only priests once a year could go into the Holy of Holies, where they had the Ark of the Covenant, right? Where the Ten Commandments were sealed and that was all considered holy. You were not allowed to even touch the Ark of the Covenant. They had to carry it with long poles, and if they touched it, they would die. If you've ever seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know what happens when you take God's holiness lightly. Your face melts off. In the New Testament, though, there is some shift in the use of holiness, but it is still obvious in places. Matthew 21, 12 and 13 says this, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And he said, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Jesus pointed out that when you take something meant for something holy and you change it for something meant for selfish and greedy reasons, and you are corrupting what God has meant to be. Today, in this day and age, we do not have many things that we consider holy. Back in the day, sanctuaries were often considered holy. Now we eat food in them. Kids play games in them. It's all everyday, common, multi-purpose rooms. Crosses are a fashion statement. Don't have to be a Christian to wear one. Everybody wears one. So what is considered holy? For many people, the flag is probably one of the few holy objects we have out there. There are special rules for how to hold it, how to fold it, how to display it. And if you are a veteran, it probably carries even more value and importance to you because you know what it stands for. You paid the price for that flag. But the flag and the Star Spangled Banner are loaded topics in our culture the last couple years, aren't they? Because some people consider the object itself holy, while others consider just what it stands for holy, while some don't even consider what it stands for holy. And we have a nation divided on what to do about that. But I'm not wanting to get into the flag controversy today. I'm here to talk about the Bible, God's Word, and God's people. What do they have to do with holiness? Let's start with God's Word. How holy is it? That's the question. At night, does it glow? Does it glow? Is it magical in some sense of the word? Is it wrong to toss it on the floor? Is it wrong to set a drink on top of it? Should the Bible be the most important things in our life, and yet we know that it's not? Well, enough teasers and questions. I've done enough of that. Let's dig in. People can actually have too high a view of Scripture, or they can have too low a view of Scripture. We each have to decide of ourselves where we draw the line. But we have to be wary actually of both extremes. So let's start with the one that will surprise you the most, that we can actually have too high a view of Scripture. It's like, we can? Well, if I'm going to argue that, I better use Jesus' own words. Here's what he says in John 5, 37 through 40. It says, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You've never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I think John Stott summarized this really well. He's a very famous writer, theologian, very well respected. He said, Scripture is not an end to itself, but points us towards God, Jesus, and the relationship we can have with him. See, my friends, as important as the Bible is, it's more like binoculars. Binoculars are not supposed to be looked at. They're supposed to be looked through. Right? The goal is not to own a Bible and set it on a shelf, just say that you have one. It's not a lucky charm. The ultimate goal is not even to read it or study it. The goal is to use it to know the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to live out as much of Christ-like living as you can live. That's the Bible. It does not give us truth, every specific truth on every specific question out there. However, it does give us the person of truth in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. If you were here last week, you know that I talked extensively about Jesus being the core center of everything that I believe, even above other parts of the Bible. It's the foundation. And so far, what I'm saying today just emphasizes that point even more. But while there are some Christians or people that have too high a view of Scripture, most people struggle with having a too low view of Scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says this, For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. My friends, I cannot tell you how many people I have talked to who have got their life going better and gotten their life closer to God. And I would say, what are you doing that's making this difference? And they would almost always say, regular time in the Word of God. Regular time in the Word of God. It's probably the most critical part of our lives. The most important habit that most of us fail to do. The late Eugene Peterson, who actually wrote the Message Bible, says Christians feed on Scripture. Holy Scripture nurtures the holy community as food nurtures the human body. Christians don't simply learn or study or use Scripture. We assimilate it. We take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love. It is how we know God and know Jesus. It's not an end of itself, but it is the vehicle for which we know God, and then it translates into helping us live out the gospel. It is the great tool of our lives. So let me go back to the little youth pastor story when I actually threw the Bible on the floor. And of course, when you're a youth pastor, you love to shock kids and get their attention because otherwise they're going to run all over on you. And I tossed it to the floor and watched it fall to the ground. I did this in probably 30, 40 teens to make a point. I tossed the Bible on the floor and I said, is it more disrespectful to throw it or to not read it? Right? Personally, I would rather see my teen reading the Bible at night and tossing it to the floor, setting a bottle of water on it, than not reading it and putting it up on a shelf where it's nice and neat and taken care of. Now, I'm not saying you have to choose between the two. I'm going to make that point clear. You can read it and still put it away nicely. But even though I don't think you have to choose, I do think you have to prioritize between the two, which is really the higher value of the two, which is really the most important part of the equation. Well, I don't think the Bible is a good luck charm. I do want to argue in some way that it has some magical, and of course magic is a weird dark term, but it has something, I guess we should say, holy about it. If you humble yourself and you seek God through His Word, the Spirit works in a way that can't be explained. You may not even realize it's happening, but we believe it is more than a book. It's more than just wise sayings. It's more than just a great story about a great God. We believe the Spirit actually works when we read it. We believe hard hearts become broken. Broken hearts are comforted. Comforted hearts find healing. And healing hearts are used to change other people's hearts. The Bible is holy, but maybe not in the way that people think. You know what else is holy about the Bible, besides the Bible, that most people don't realize? His children. You and I. If I had given you a quiz on what holy things are in this room at the start of the service, would you have said His people? Isn't it sad that Christians do not think of themselves as holy people in process of becoming holier? What does it say about us when we have a problem throwing a Bible to the ground, which again, I'm not saying is right, but yet we have no problem filling our minds with all sorts of evil, lustful, selfish, or bitter thoughts? That seems acceptable to us. Our holiness is a gift that comes through salvation. That is why Christians are simultaneously both a sinner and a saint. We are simultaneously a sinner and a saint. Certainly we struggle in our own power to be anything but a sinner, but we are declared righteous through the death of Jesus on the cross, and we are declared holy. And then the Spirit starts to reside in us. See, the Spirit used to reside in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Now it resides in you and me. Holy of Holies. Spirit's inside of us. Isn't that cool? God made the ground holy when He appeared in a burning bush. He now makes the church, when I say the church, I mean His people, holy when we come together to praise and pray. Did you think about this morning when you came in? This is holy ground. When we come and we praise and we pray, holy ground. It's special. Holy Spirit, Batman. As we look at our most important beliefs, Jesus is at the heart of what we believe. But the rest of the Bible is not far from behind that, at least in that next core bubble. Because the whole Bible is holy. Maybe not in the way we tend to think, but it is holy. 1 Peter 5:16 says, "Just as we who are called is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Holiness has not expired, my friends. We don't use the term very often anymore, but it is still relevant. God is doing a new thing with holiness. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Holy Word and helps His people become holy. There's also a Christian ritual God has made for us It's called Holy Communion. When his people gather to celebrate his death and resurrection, through the act of communion, the Holy Spirit is present. Go out today. Be God's holy people. Be people who read and live out his holy word. Hope you can join us next week as we dig into some of the tools we need to apply when we actually read his word. Have a great week.